Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you. So good to be with those of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? Come on, let's hear it for them. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and this weekend we are in part six of a series that we're calling Empowered. We're looking at the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit. So in case you missed any of this, week one, we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We tried to demystify this mysterious being called the Holy Spirit. Week two, we talked about spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Week three, we talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us with the battles of life. And week four, we talked about supernatural healing. Does God heal today? And if he does, why are there so many people not healed? Great. We talked about this in week four. Week five, last week, Mother's Day, we looked at empowered parenting. Today we're in episode six. And listen, if you missed any of these, you go to your Miami Vineyard on YouTube, on our website, your favorite podcast and place, and you got to listen to the ones you missed. So here are week six. And as I've done in almost every one of these messages, I want to start with a story. So back in 1991, Pastor Debbie and I, my wife, we were buying our first home. We had been living in a duplex in the Dadeland area for 5 years, trying to amass some money for a down payment. And in 1991, it wasn't that the homes were priced out of reach. It's just that the interest rates were really high. So people weren't, not a lot of buying going on. And people weren't moving like they are today. Today homes are so high that you can't almost get one, but there's some available. Back in the day, there wasn't much available. So, but we were buying back in that day. We contacted a realtor, and her name was Maureen. And so when back in that day, 1991, there was no Zillow. There was no realtor.com. You had to go and see every single house. And so we would get in our realtor's car. My wife and I would jump in the back seat. Maureen would be in the front seat, and she would take us to see these homes. And we would average about one home a week that we would go and see. And as we rode in her car with her, I would ask, you know, questions and little dialogue a little bit. So I was asking her about her spiritual journey, you know, where she was in this. And she said, like many people I've come across, she believed in God, but she just didn't believe that God was like involved in like our daily activities. You know, there's a God, he gave the world a spin, but he wasn't really involved in day-to-day, because if he was involved in day-to-day, she said, the Miami Dolphins would be doing much better. But anyway, so 6 months go by, and we've been out looking at a house like once a week with her. 6 months go by, and we haven't found anything, and she says, do you want to keep looking, or do you want to take a break? And I said, well, let's keep looking. And so Monday morning, okay, I'm just telling you, this is what happened Monday morning. Monday morning of the next week, I'm kneeling down beside my couch, which is where I had my first and 10 with God back in that season of life. I would kneel down beside my couch. I would open the Bible, read a little bit like we've taught here, pray to God. And in that moment, I felt like God spoke to me. I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this, and said, you are going to have a house by Friday. And I don't know if it was because I was young and stupid, bold or brash, but whatever it was, I called up Maureen immediately after that. And I said, Maureen, I think God spoke to me. She said, yeah? What'd he say? You can imagine she's just not in this world where like God can actually talk to you. So it was so funny that call, this phone call. What'd he say? And by that time, I can't back out anymore. And so I said, well, I think maybe he said that we're going to have a house by Friday. So let me tell you what happened. I told her that. That was Monday. Later on that same day, this home became available, ran across her realtor system. Home became available. We drove and looked at it on Wednesday. We made counteroffers on Thursday. We had a signed contract on Friday of a house. So come on, somebody. Go God. By the way, that's the same house we live in today. all these years later, still living in that same house today. Raised 5 kids in that house. Had a chance to influence our neighborhood over these years. Most of our neighbors have attended Miami Vineyard. Some of them still do. In fact, there's some here today. And it's been a great time. But can I just encourage those of you looking for a house today? It seems impossible. It did for me back in the day. God sees you. He knows you. The Holy Spirit has power to make things happen in our lives when it seems like there's no way it's going to happen. So I just want to encourage you. Yeah, I just want to encourage you. Don't give up. Keep trusting. Keep trusting. Keep trusting. So let's talk about this a little more. I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit's power today. So maybe you want to do something if we get started. You might want to locate some message notes. And message notes are all virtual. They're found on our Miami Vineyard app. If you haven't yet downloaded the app, you can go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. If you're in the room today, scan this QR code, and you can download our app. It's a free download. Once you get the app downloaded, tap on This Weekend, Message Notes. This Weekend, Message Notes. If you want a hard copy of the notes, these are available every week in the back. You can pick them up on the way in, or you can go get one right now. So as you're downloading the app, as you're opening up the app, as you're getting your message notes, I want to just ask you a question. Does it seem sometimes, I'm not talking about pastors, I'm talking about just like, does it seem sometimes that some people, some Christians, some Jesus followers, does it seem sometimes that they have more spiritual power than you? That when they pray, it's like something happens when they pray. Like they live their lives with a sense of peace and contentment that more than you do. That when something goes wrong, they're not freaking out like everybody else. Like when we had the gas shortage a couple weeks ago. They're not bringing every gas can they own and every 2-liter bottle they can round up and filling it up with gas. During COVID, they didn't buy 600 rolls of toilet paper. That there's something different about them. That they have this, they've got this deep spiritual assurance that God is in control. And sometimes I wonder, right, how is it that they seem to have more spiritual power than we do? You know what the answer is? They just might. They just might. Why? Not because God likes them any better. Not because God loves them more. I knew God loved them more. No. It's not because of that. It's because, let me tell you what it's because of. It's because of the fact that they have opened their life to the person, to the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. They have surrendered. They have surrendered their lives to the purpose, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the more we surrender our lives to Him, the more power we receive. And so they do. They actually do have more power. Let me explain it this way. So, you might be wondering, what's under here? Any guesses? Good guess. Good guess. Going to save it for Father's Day. Raffle it off. Back in the day of this church, we bought 5 acres of land that we were going to build a church on. And I'm going a long time ago, and different set of circumstances happened and so forth, and we never did build a church on that land. We sold that land, and anyway, now we're here today. But back in the day, 5 acres of land. It was undeveloped land. There was no electricity to the land, no water to the land. It was just like a field of just tall grass and stuff. But we had to have a service on the land once a year to maintain our tax-exempt status as a church. So once a year we had to service, take a few pictures, make sure we have a service there. So this land is just like raw land, grasses everywhere, and you know, just tall stuff. And so I go out there. Because we got to have a service on the land. And so, you know, there's going to be 100 people there, and we're going to put up a tent and this kind of stuff. So I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to take my 22-inch lawnmower, and I'm going to start cutting down an acre of this so we can have a service on the land. Church was much smaller then. We didn't have as many volunteers, so Pastor Kevin's going to go out there and just make it happen. And I grabbed this 22-inch lawnmower. Well, I got a friend who was attending the church, and this friend was in charge of FIU landscaping. He had his own business on the side. And I told him what I was going to do. And he laughed at me. He said, "You're going to take this 22-inch lawnmower right here," he said, And you're going to go out to that field, and you're going to cut down an acre of grass. He said, what are you thinking? I said, I don't know. I'll just get out there and just get started. He said, that's never going to work. So he brings out a tractor. On the back of the tractor is this lawnmower, this huge round lawnmower. He starts it up. It sounds like a helicopter. I mean, he's out there moving. I mean, grass is flying. Small trees are flying. Car parts are flying. I mean, all kinds of stuff are just flying around. And as I'm watching him cut this down, as I stand there with my hands on my 22-inch lawnmower, I'm just thinking to myself, how stupid was I to think that I was actually going to make this happen? You know, and sometimes I think in life, as followers of Christ, we got our hands on the 22-inch lawnmower, thinking, I'm going to go through life, living life this way. When in reality, there is a Holy Spirit who has power and presence and purpose in our lives, who's like the tractor with the lawnmower in the back. And we go through life with a 22-inch lawnmower, and God wants to breathe so much more power into our life to live life in a totally different way. And there's people all over the world that we're going to live this Christian life, but they don't realize there's a far greater power available. So let's talk a little bit about this today. So in Acts chapter 1 in the Bible, Acts chapter 1, Jesus has already set the stage. Jesus has already died. He rose from the grave, but he didn't ascend to heaven yet. There was a period of 40 days between the time Jesus rose from the grave and the time he ascended to heaven. And he was alive and had lots of conversations with people during that time. In Acts chapter 1, we pick up a conversation. And in verse 4, it says this. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, on one occasion during this time, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. What gift is he talking about? Yes, the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't start doing all the stuff yet. Don't grab that 22-inch lawnmower. I got something else for you. He said, there's a gift coming. Next verse. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's he talking about? That word baptize in the original language means to immerse. And when we baptize people with water, which we're going to be doing again in July, we set a tub of water over here on the side of the stage area. We lower people completely in the water, bring them back out of the water. They're completely covered in water. It means to immerse. And so he's saying the Holy Spirit's going to immerse you. He's going to fill you. He's going to empower you. He's going to be in you, around you, among you, fill you. That's what he's talking about. He said, but wait here for that to happen. Then he says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You receive power. That word power in the original language is the Greek word dunamis, where we get, what word do you think we get from dunamis? Dynamite. The power the Holy Spirit wants to give us in our lives is like dynamite. It's not some simple little power. It is power to conquer, power to empower you to live life. It's dynamite. It's dynamite. And we said this, it's noticeable. It's real. We said this back in week one. We said Christianity is more than just something to believe. We said it's someone to receive, that there is a person, the power, a presence of the Holy Spirit to receive in our lives. And then look what it says in the rest of that verse. It says, so you receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, you know, what's the big deal with that? Well, the big deal with that is this. You got to remember the people he's talking to. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to these are the same guys, right? The disciples, you got to understand, the disciples, they were not like this elite class of people that had all these Bible degrees and all that. No, they were just regular people. They were not the who's who's of Jerusalem. They were not the people who had blue check marks on their Twitter account that Elon Musk removed. Okay, they were not those people. They were not. They were just regular, ordinary people. In fact, they were the people that when Jesus died and had his trial just a few days before, they all scattered. They were scared, stiff. They weren't anywhere to be found. I'm not going to die like he did. These are the guys. He said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And he said, when it happens, you will be my witnesses. Here, the city next door, and around the world. and we are in this room today. You are joining me online today because of these disciples and the difference they made and the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here today. So, and God is inviting us to experience that same power today. That's not just 2,000 years ago. This is today. It's real today. It's as real as that story I told you about in the beginning where the Holy Spirit spoke to me about getting a house and a week later it happened. It's as real. I could tell you 100 stories. It's as real as that today. So I'm going to just give you 3 real life examples of how the Holy Spirit empowers us in our life today. I could give you 333. I gave you so many. But as you go through the Bible, you see the Holy Spirit is mentioned in multiple different ways about how he brings power into our life today. So if you take notes, here we go. Let me give you three quick scenarios of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, the power he wants to bring into our lives today. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us power in our weakness. In our weakness. It says in Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I know sometimes we hate to admit that we're weak, but the reality is that we are. We are often more weak than we realize. We just don't want to admit it. I mean, folks, life is tough. And living life in Miami is tougher. I'm just curious. How many of you would say that living life in Miami is challenging? Can I see your hands? Anybody? Is challenging? Yeah, I see 2 hands in the back. I see that. Yeah. If you're online with us right now, and you're living the 305, just put in the chat right now, I love Miami. I've been here for many years. It's a challenge. Raise 5 kids here. It's a challenge. You've got traffic. You've got congestion. You've got cost of living. Then you've got people speaking all different kinds of languages. And then you've got the people who you find on Only Indeed. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hopefully those are not you on Only Indeed. I mean, you got people. You got people. Life wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for all the people. But it's not just living in the city. Listen, we have challenges in all of life. Some of your parents. Whew, and those kids are challenging. And you might be wondering to yourself, why did we have them again? Remind me. Listen, look what it says in Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit, what? Helps us in our weakness. The same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, there's a simple prayer I pray every morning when I wake up. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Whenever anything is happening, fill me. I just pray it as just a prayer. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. I don't want to live my life without the power, the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Every day. Some of you got a presentation coming up at work. You've got exams coming up in college or school or whatever. And you're going, oh, I just don't know. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Some of you, it's with your finances. You got these bills. You got these expenses. You got too much month left at the end of the money. And you're feeling tired and worn out. Thanks. Some of you got that. A little bit late, but you got it. Okay. Better late than never. I like that. Okay. You're tired. You're worn out. You're wondering how you're going to make it. Fill me, Holy Spirit. It's a simple prayer. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And then open up ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a simple little prayer we pray, like, you know, just saying some magic words. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I want you to fill me. I can't do this without you. Some of you might be health, physical health, mental health, emotional health. You got all kinds of stuff going on. And I know, you know, we come on the weekend and we're good, we're happy, we're here. But if the truth were known, some of you are feeling very inadequate right now about a number of things. What do you do? The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. It's come, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Some of you got a habit, a hurt, a hang-up, a temptation that you just can't seem to get above. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Because we're busy pushing our 22-inch lawnmower when God's got a tractor with a power mower in the back of it that he wants to give us in our life. Fill me, Holy Spirit. So that's number one. Holy Spirit wants to give us power in our weakness. Here's number two. Holy Spirit wants to give us power, number two, in our relationships. Well, relationships are not easy. They're not easy. I'm just curious. Let's have a little honest confession here in the house today. How many of you would say that currently, right now in your life, there's at least one person that you're having some issues with relationally? Let me see your hands. One person. Come on, one person. Okay. All right. Let me ask you a follow-up question. Is that person sitting next to you right now? Now look, I'm telling you, relationships are not easy. They're not. They're not. And they're not getting any easier. I mean, social media was supposed to bring us closer together. And I ask you, is that really happening? Not that I see. I mean, I'm on social media, but so many times people are posting stuff that doesn't bring people closer together. It polarizes people and pushes them farther apart. Relationships are not getting easier, they're getting more difficult. But God created us to be in relationship. He created us to be in community. God did that. Long before he ever created Adam and Eve, there was community in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was in heaven. It was for a small group, by the way, in heaven. And then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us. The Trinity, let us make man in our image. And so God created Adam. And he looked at Adam and said, Adam was miserable. He says, it's not good for man to be alone. I need to create another human. And God created Eve and relationships. Relationships, we need each other. We need each other. That I need you and you need me. We need each other. In fact, I want you to turn to somebody right now, look at them and tell them, I need you. Tell them, I need you. I need you. And then tell them back, and you need me. Tell them, and you need me. And you need me. But we are never going to experience the kind of relationship God wants to offer by pushing around a 22-inch lawnmower thinking I can do relationships this way. We need the power, the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way relationships are going to happen. We need the power, the purpose, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when our love and patience runs out, and it runs out all the time, we need the patience that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. When we don't want to forgive anymore, we need to be infused with the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive. When we don't want to be kind any longer, we need the kindness that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. In fact, look at this next verse, speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces these things in our lives. Look what the Holy Spirit gives us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. You think you need a little bit more of that? Look, when we run out of these things, the Holy Spirit produces them in our lives. He produces them in our lives. And the Holy Spirit will give us them if we ask him, if we remain dependent upon him. He wants to produce these in our lives. And he wants your relationships. He does. He wants your relationships to be robust. He does. I know it's not possible with everyone because the Bible says, as much as possible, be at peace with everyone. The Bible knows you can't be at peace with everyone. There are some people that you just can't be at peace with. Don't look at them right now. Bible says, but as much as possible, be at peace with everyone. There's power, there's presence, there's availability. The Holy Spirit's available. There's in our lives. So he gives us power. I told you it's three real everyday ways, right? In our weakness, in our relationships. And here's number three. The Holy Spirit gives us power in our hopelessness. You know, let's just be honest. this world we live in can seem like a very hopeless place at times. I mean, just look at your newsfeed. Mass shootings happening more this year than any other previous year in this country. A six-year-old student shooting his teacher. We got wars in Russia, Ukraine, Syria. We've got inflation. We've got a cost of living continues to rise, especially here in Miami-Dade. We got racial issues, issues of injustice, polarization. And as I just mentioned a moment ago, there's a whole lot of people not liking each other. It's no wonder mental health issues are at an all-time high. And sometimes we go, Pastor Kevin, why would I want to bring a kid into a world like this? Why would I? What? And it just, if we just let all these things consume us, you can get to the point where you're afraid even to walk out of the house because there is so much happening. How am I supposed to live in a world like this? How has it been possible? You know how it's possible? Because our hope and our trust is not on anything or anyone happening in this world. Our hope and our trust is in Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. In the book of Romans, chapter 15. And by the way, the Bible, most of the latter half of your Bible, the New Testament, is just letters that this guy Paul wrote to people and to churches. And so in the book of Romans, he's writing a letter to the church, y'all, in Rome at that time. 2,000 years ago, he's writing a letter to the church in Rome. And Paul's just helping them. He's encouraging them. He's saying, look. And in chapter 15, he goes on for 12 verses because it was not easy being a Christian and living in Rome at that time. It's not easy being a follower of Jesus today. And he's encouraging them in this. 12 verses he goes on. Twice he uses the word endurance. He said, I want to encourage you, endure. What does endurance mean? Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Twice he talks about endurance. He mentioned about keep the good fight of faith. He talks about faith being a fight. Keep the good fight of faith. Keep fighting for your faith. Keep living the life. Keep loving each other. He's talking about loving each other because people in the church were not loving each other. He says, keep loving each other. He goes on for 12 verses, keep loving each other. He says, keep thinking about those who are on the outside looking in. Don't ever lose sight of those who don't yet know Jesus, who are on the outside looking in. Keep thinking about them. And then he talks about this for 12 verses. And then he goes on in verse 13, and he says this, and I put this one in your outlines. He says this in verse 13. He says, may the God of hope, because they were feeling hopeless living their life. He said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine living your life today, overflowing with hope in the midst of everything happening in life? Health issues, life, stuff, all the stuff we just talked about. Living your life overflowing with hope. How is that possible? It's possible through the person, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I would love to pray for us right now. Okay, I just want to take just a couple minutes and just pray for us right now. So maybe, can you just maybe bow your heads and close your eyes just to block out distractions? And if you're with us online right now, watching at home, if you can, please join us. And can I just invite you right now just to put your hands just on your lap in front of you, just with palms up, just as a posture. Well, all that is body language to say, I'm Holy Spirit, I need you. And I'm open to you and to your presence filling my life right now. I can't do this without you. I don't want to do this without you. I need you. So just as we keep our hands out and extended and just open, and as we just keep praying, I'm just gonna pray some things right now in this moment. I'm gonna start just a very simple way of the vineyard, a prayer model in the vineyard, just saying these three words: come, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Can I just invite you to say these words out loud right now? Would you just say, fill me, Holy Spirit? Go ahead, just fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And can I invite you not just to say these words just today, but can I invite you to make that a daily part of your life? To say, fill me, Holy Spirit. We can't do this without you. We need you. And some of you right now, even as I'm speaking to you right now, you're sensing the Holy Spirit filling you. Even now, you're sensing His presence in a new way. Some of you, even as I'm talking right now, I'm just sensing some of you are getting a hope breathed into you that you did not have when you walked into this place today. You can't even explain it because it's not logical. It's illogical. But the Holy Spirit now is filling you with hope. Some of you, it's hope with your finances. Some of you, it's hope with your health. Some of you, it's hope in a relationship. The Holy Spirit is just breathing hope in you right now. That you thought this was over. You thought it was gone. You thought it was dead. You thought it was done. Some of you right now, it's a dream. Some of you, God is breathing hope into you regarding a dream in your life that you thought was done and over and done. But you sense right now the Holy Spirit breathing His hope into you again. Some of you, it's a feeling, and some of you have been taught that you don't live your life by feelings, and we don't live our life by feelings. But God gave us feelings. And the Holy Spirit's more than a feeling. He's God. And there's faith that goes with this, but there is also a sense, and there's also a reality, and a sense, and a feeling that comes with the presence of God. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a presence that comes. And some of you right now are experiencing this. And I just want to encourage you to lean into it. Lean into Him. Lean into the person, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for what you're doing right now in our midst. Thank you, God. Some of you are leaning in again. Some of you are leaning in again. Come, Holy Spirit. Some of you maybe in your life, this is kind of new, and there's never been a moment in your life where you've leaned in like this. I just want to invite you right now to open your life to the power of Jesus Christ. That if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never surrendered to Jesus, I want you to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. You just pray it inside and say, Jesus, today I surrender to you. I open my life to you. I open my heart to you. I open my mind to you. Jesus, today I say yes to you. And God, I bless what you're doing in our lives. I bless what you're doing in our lives today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.